Welcome to the Now Believe podcast, Growing in the Supernatural, Week 6, The Supernatural Working of Faith.
I pray, Father, that you would speak through some of the things we're going to look at tonight, this whole issue of faith. Make it real, make it powerful. For your glory. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Week 6. This is one of my favorite, if not my favorite, topics. I just love it. So I really hope you get something of what God has given to me through this. It's called The Supernatural Working of Faith. I just really like that title. I didn't want to just call it faith, because faith is such an, not an overused word, but it's a very used word, and it means all sorts of different things to everyone. We all have faith. Every human being has faith. Everyone has faith. The question is, what are you putting your faith in? Where's your faith coming from? And let's look at the key scriptures here. Genesis 1, 1 to 3, the very beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, with darkness, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Let's just stop there for a second. The Spirit of God was hovering. I love that word, hovering. It's pregnant. What was he doing? Then, it says. So we're given, right at the beginning of the Bible, this sense of pregnancy, this sense of... Oh! We're given this sense. I just felt the fire of God, by the way. That's all that was. Yeah, just receive. It's all right. It's all right. Heaven is not like church as we know it. Okay. The pregnancy, you see, of the Lord. We've got to understand. Let's just allow your imaginations to go into a realm where the earth was without form. There was no form. There was darkness. There was a void. What's a void? There's nothing in it. It's very hard, actually, for human language to somehow render what was going on in terms of the materialism of the universe, because there wasn't much. But there was this hovering of the Spirit of God. And then it says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. What did God do? He spoke into that place of void. He spoke into it. And then we see the unfolding of creation. Okay, this is the Word of God. This is the truth. How do I know it's the truth? Me personally, to put it very, very quickly, for 26 years, I had no relationship with God. Then, when I decided to receive the truth, capital T, the Word of God made flesh, I came into relationship with God by His written Word and by the Word, Jesus. I now have a relationship with God. I accept the whole Bible as truth. I cannot choose to accept a large part of it and say, that bit doesn't quite fit with my thinking, I'm not going to have it. We know that the Bible, all of it, is God-breathed, that the entirety of the Bible is truth. Psalm 119, verse 116, 160, John 17, 17. His word is truth. Jesus is the truth. So, now listen to this. Genesis 1:26. God said, let us, the Trinity, spoke with each other and said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. So we are to look like God and we're to function like Him. That's incredible. Okay, I'll say it again. We're to look like him, image, and we're to function like him. That's why Jesus is who? Our brother, amongst other things. So we need to apply Genesis 1:1-3 to ourselves. And we're going to be looking at this. This is the key scriptures, so a lot of this is going to be unpacked. And then I want us to come to a very, very important verse in the New Testament, John 5:19-20. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you," Jesus does not lie. When Jesus speaks stuff, it really is important. "The Son can do nothing of himself." We can do nothing without Jesus. "But the Son does what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel." So this final key scripture is looking at the importance of that word we had from Madalena, obedience, that's where the power is. That Jesus had no power of himself. He had no power. And that's, again, a very bizarre concept for us, because we have spent so much of our lives living in independence from God and seemingly getting stuff done or having power. And we see people in the world who have a semblance of power, yet no relationship with God. So when we look at Jesus, we see him sometimes as this, I think this kind of, just it's him by himself. He was just God walking and he was doing stuff. And to a degree that's true, but we've got to listen and we've got to take this in. He had nothing of himself. He couldn't do anything of himself. It was an entire, the dependence was upon his Father and that relationship. The stuff to get done. So we're going to look at that in more detail. We've looked at the power of words, and we'll continue to. We can't come off this subject for the reasons of these scriptures. And we're going to see why even more. And then, turn the page. So a couple of phrases there. Your tongue linked with the vision of your heart controls your world. We've seen that, we've heard that and read that and appreciated that quotation before. Very, very important. You get what you talk about. Hit this from Joel Osteen. Don't talk about the size of your problem. You know, we live in a society which was always talking about problems and complaining. Don't talk about it. Talk about the size of your God. Get into the habit of Hebrews 12:2. Having your eyes fixed on Jesus, having your words fixed on Jesus. How about that? Just talk about Jesus a lot and see what happens. I'm serious. Benny Hinn said a similar thing. He said, if you really want to see the power of God turn up in your life, he said, just talk about Jesus. Do you know why? Because when you talk about Jesus, God the Father wants to prove that he is the name above every name. We have to have this jealousy that Jesus must be spoken about. And I need to speak into this a little bit, because I feel God's really put it on my heart. And I say this with all due respect. I hope. People talk about God a lot, but they don't necessarily talk about Jesus. Why? Because God is socially just about acceptable. To talk about God, it's a kind of philosophical issue, it's academic, it's intellectual to talk about God. It's accepted, particularly actually in a climate of atheism, because it's still a conversation. Jesus is not an acceptable subject matter in the world. Jesus, and you'll know this before you were saved, is a disgusting name that will cause you to want to punch people, to leave the room if someone's talking about Jesus, because it's too offensive in the spirit. We need to talk about Jesus. that when we evangelize, just get to Jesus really quickly. Even if you feel uncomfortable about it, I think a lot of that's our flesh. Because that's when things happen. And Benny Hinn is a very good example of a man who is used of God in power, signs, and wonders. I don't care what people say about him. I've been to his meetings. He just exalts the name of Jesus. He's a human being. He has ways and things that may not suit all of us. I think he's a great preacher. People get healed. He's an amazing evangelist. And he said, if you want to see God move in power in your life, just talk about Jesus a lot. Because he'll just start turning up. God will start backing up that name in weird and wonderful ways. So talk about Jesus. Talk about the size of him. Don't talk about your problems. Okay, how does God intend life? That's a big question, isn't it? Well, there are many ways, and we could focus on any number of them. But for the sake of this conversation, for the sake of this investigation, we're going to look at the fact that God is a faith God. Now that still, I find it difficult to fully appreciate what that really means, but I'm going to do my best. He's a faith God. God creates by faith. Let's look at Hebrews 11:3. By faith, the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now that astonishes me in many ways, because why does God have to operate by faith? Interesting. Let's look at that. Let's think about that. Why should God have to have faith? Part of this is because we haven't really understood what the word faith actually is. We have a distorted appreciation, I believe, in large parts of the church. And we mix our understanding with the word believing. There's a difference between believing and faith, and we're going to look at that. Okay, God is a faith God. God creates by faith. Interesting. You see, come back to Genesis 1:3, he hovered. There was actually something going on in the faith realm when God was hovering over the face of the deep, the formless world and the void. We're going to look at that. God thinks something, he imagines it, and then he speaks it out, and it transfers from the spirit realm to the natural realm by the power of faith. Faith is a power. I love this. Matthew 8:8. Only speak a word and my servant will be healed. We know that the word has power, doesn't it? But listen, the word hasn't materialized anything. The word is something that you can't see. It's spoken out, but yet the result of it is a physical manifestation. Okay. How are human beings supposed to function? Well, we're made in God's image and likeness. So how God works, we work. Amen? God is spirit, so we must get into the spirit as spirit beings and rule over our souls and bodies. Why does Paul exhort us to pray in tongues? To edify our spirits. Because we live in an age that is obsessed with the flesh. And actually the soul, and the soul often governs our lives, or the flesh, and we need to get our spirits to come into ascendancy over our souls and our flesh. How do we do that? We build up our spirit man. We make it rule over our soul. David would cry out, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He would command his soul to bless the Lord when it was depressed, when he was emotional, because his spirit man is unfettered by those issues of life. God is spirit. We're spirit because we're made in his image. Our spirit will go to be with the Father when we die. See, faith is imperative. Outside of faith, we're in sin. Now, why is that? That's huge. Because we're made to be faith people. God is a faith God. And when we're not operating in faith, we're in sin. Romans 14:23, whatever is not from faith is sin. That's a bold statement. Not even necessarily bold. It's just, it's It's a difficult statement for us to accept. But I want to accept and meditate on the Word of God because I believe it's the truth. Like I've said before, if I find a word in the Bible that is problematic, I want to get to grips with it. I want us to get to grips with it. We want to get to grips with the Word of God so we can be the Word of God. You are a word from heaven. Jesus was the Word. And as the Father sent Jesus, he sends us. You're a word from heaven that needs to be fulfilled. And God doesn't want it coming back to him until it's prospered in what he sent it to, for you to do. We can't please God apart from faith. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. That's religion. Religion gets you nowhere. I said again, religion gets us nowhere in the sense of works, circumcision and uncircumcision. You can go to church 15 times a day. If it's not done out of the right motive and out of relationship with Jesus Christ, it gets you nowhere. You achieve nothing, first of all, of any eternal value, and your soul is not saved. But what does avail something, Paul says, but faith working through love? Praise the Lord. God's word brings life. Okay, this is when it gets exciting. How does God intend life to be? His word brings life. God's word, like rain in the natural, brings life and creative power. We're going to look at all these incredible ways in which when the word of God comes, life comes. When the word of God is released, there is creativity. So we need to hear and have and release his word all the time. Okay. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Listen to this and imagine this. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. That's how his word comes down. It brings life, waters, and buds come forth. That's growth, that's creativity, that's what the word of God brings. It makes things grow. It brings life. I'm going to look at lots of scriptures here. So how do we recognize God's word in any given situation? It, God's word, it's a word, but it's also Jesus, the living word, has life and spirit and will witness with your spirit. Jesus said this, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. You cannot live by the physical. You cannot live by food. You can only live by the word of God which comes from the Father. Where is life coming from? The Father, by his word. Jesus says this, John 6:33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives what? Life to the world. No bread of God, no Jesus, no word, no living word, no life. John 6:63, the words that I speak to you, you'll all know this, are spirit and they are life. Every word that we get from Jesus, from God, brings life. Psalm 119, 49 to 50. Remember the word to your servant upon which you've caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me what? Life. But Simon Peter answered, Lord, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So we have this kind of mind-blowing sort of tension between, on the one hand, a word from God, which is something that will drop into our spirit, that we'll hear, that we'll read, you know, the logos, the written word will become life, the Rhema word into our life, but also Jesus is that word. And that's kind of hard for us to get our heads around, but it's important for us to consider that. Jesus brings life, and God's word brings life. You understand that? You can hold the two together. I love comparing John 1:1 with 1 John 1:1. Okay, let's just look at that again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the expression of God. He's the Word of God. He's the God made manifest, the image of the invisible God. 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. And then we have John 14:6 and John 11:25. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. This whole big thing on life. And then John 10:10, I have come that they may have life. So God's word brings life. And then we have this parallel with living water. And I want us to look at this. On the last day, that great day of the feast, we're looking at John's. I know this is a lot of scripture, but just bear with me for the moment. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." So what I'm trying to do here is I'm making a connection between life, God's word bringing life, and then Jesus talking about living water, which actually is it's unnatural living water. Okay, it's not something that we can't turn a tap on and have living water. So we just need to accept that for a second. Just put that on the shelf for a second. It's living water. Okay. And look, when Jesus speaks, what happens? Sound of many waters. In Revelation 1, verse 14. I want you to imagine that. It's a wonderful thing to imagine. Imagine Jesus in his glorified state speaking and it just being rushing waters. You see, this is the extent of life that comes from the life, the source of life, the power, capital P. That when he speaks, it's like rushing waters. It's like Niagara Falls. There's just too much life coming out of his mouth for us to even somehow describe it. There's a great story of Ian McCormack when he met the Lord in death. And he said that when he got as close as he could to Jesus, when he spoke, it was like that it was the center of the universe, and that he could literally imagine universes coming out of his mouth. That's how he tried to explain it. Of course, we can't do justice to that. But for me, that really sort of resonated. God said, "Let there be light." Proverbs 18, verse 4. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. So do you see this connection between life and water? Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. So what I'm doing here is I'm just making a link between life and water. And God's word bringing a cleansing, bringing a life, bringing a washing, bringing a renewal, bringing a creativity constantly. Okay, on to page 5. Faith is a gift. Believing is what we do. Okay, faith is a gift. This is really important. This is a real place of rest for some of us. Okay? Faith is a gift. Believing is what we do with it. And we're going to come out of works. A few of us are going to come out of works, I feel, tonight because of this. And condemnation. So we receive from God and work like God. Faith is a gift from God. Okay, God works by his word through faith. We've seen that in Hebrews 11, verse 3. What did he do? By faith. Where is it? By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The worlds were framed by the word of God, and they're still framed by that word. Now, this is what happens with us. With us, the word of God arrives, bringing with it the substance of faith. Now, what happens when the word of God arrives? It brings what? Spirit and life, which we've looked at. So you will have experiences in your life where you'll feel someone will say something to you, or you'll read something in the scriptures, or you'll see an advert, and there'll be life on it. Won't there? There'll be a sense of God's anointing on it. You'll feel a quickening in your spirit. God's word is spirit and life, John 6:63. So it brings with it the substance of faith. Faith is a gift from God. It's not something we can work up. Here's the key. It's a gift from God. Faith is God's gift. Believing is what we do with it, and that's our responsibility. So the substance of faith lands as his word in our spirits, carrying spirit and life. Then the promise already exists in heaven. That's key. The promise already exists in heaven. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that isn't of something that's not seen yet. It's the evidence of something that we haven't seen in the natural yet. That's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's a substance. It's a power. It's not an intangible, esoteric concept. It's a substance. I refer again to Neville Johnson because it's helpful to refer to the saints and what they have seen. As I've mentioned in the past, his eyes were opened to the spirit realm in the 1970s. If you follow his teaching, you can hear his own testimony on this. He's a great revelatory teacher, I think the best out there. And I believe he's the best out there, in my opinion at least, because of what God took him through, which was a period of time where he saw everything in the spirit realm. He saw, as I've said before, colors coming out of everyone all the time. And there's a lot of imagery in the Bible that connected with color and light and sound and smell. You see, whatever is in the natural already exists in the spirit anyway. And he said that the power of faith was huge. The power of love. It's not just this intangible thing. It's intangible in the natural. But what does Paul say in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18? He says, don't look at the things which you see, but look at the things which you don't see. Which of course makes no logical sense. But what he's saying is that life does not consist of what we see in the natural. There's other stuff going on. And what Neville Johnson saw was overwhelming. He said that we're constantly transmitting in the spirit realm. And faith has a huge power to it. It's not just a word, F-A-I-T-H. It's a substance, it's a power. And the devil knows it. Hallelujah. Which is why we have examples of the sons of Sceva, who tried to do stuff in the name of Jesus. They had no faith. They got torn to pieces. And that'll happen in our own lives. We won't have faith for something. We'll try it and not much happens. Faith is a gift. It's like 1 Corinthians 12. So one of the gifts of the Spirit. It's a gift. It's a substance. It's a power. Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. It's dropped into our spirits. It's the evidence of things not seen. So it's the promise exists in heaven. It may not exist in the natural yet. So what we're doing is learning how to apply this faith and make it come to pass. Romans 4:17. how God gives what? Life to the dead. I'm skipping ahead, but we'll come on to it in a minute. Life to the dead, and calls those things that be not as though they were. What did he do with light in Genesis 1? It wasn't there, but he called it forth. He said, let there be light. He said to you, let there be Zana. Zana be. And he spoke her into the natural realm. He knew her before she was even conceived. Jeremiah 1 verse 5. Before you in your mother's womb, I knew you. He already knew you. You already existed in the spiritual realm before you were called forth in the natural realm. And by faith, you came to be. That's how God works, by faith, by the power of faith. He's a faith God. And we're called to be like God. So we must operate in the same way that God works, by spirit, in spirit, receiving from him the implanted word and calling it forth. Listen to this. Oh, I love this. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've just looked at the word. What does the word do? It brings spirit and life. It's like water. It's like rushing water. It's a gift. Faith comes not by going, I'm going to have faith. I'm just going to have faith. I'm going to have faith. It's a nightmare. And we do it all the time. Difference between believing, and we'll come on to that. Faith comes how? Not by saying, I'm going to have faith. By what? By the word of God. By hearing the word of God. The word of God will come into your life by a poster, by reading the Bible, by someone speaking prophetically into your life, by God giving you a dream, a vision. The word of God, it'll come and it'll bring life, and you'll have faith. It's a gift. Again, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Romans 12, verse 3, for I say to you, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but think to yourself soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. We've all been given a measure of faith. It's by God's grace that we have faith to do something. It's by God's grace that you have a vision in your heart that is from God, that has given you life, that's quickened your spirit, that you are calling forth by your prophetic life, by word, by deed. You're calling forth the vision that God's put into you by his grace. He's given you a measure of faith. He's constantly giving you a measure of faith. What did the apostles say? Increase our faith. They asked. We must ask. I want a bigger measure, Lord. I want a greater measure. Increase my faith. He does it. Again, the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Gifts. Gifts. There are fruits. There are gifts. But the same Spirit. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Again, for all, not just for ourselves. For to one is given faith. Faith is a gift. The Holy Spirit is the giver, is he not? The Holy Spirit is our dove. He's our company. He's our friend. He's our comforter. He's our helper. We can't do anything without him. Jesus says, better for me that I go to the Father, because everyone can have the Holy Spirit. It's just me here in the flesh. I can't help everyone. I'm not omnipresent. I'm in the flesh. It's better for me that I die. I send the Holy Spirit, the helper. We all get a helper. He's here all the time with us. He's right here, omnipresent. He's the helper, and he gives gifts. He gives gifts, he gives fruits. There's fruit growing in your life. The fruits of the Spirit. And then there's gifts, and we need both. Increase our faith. Okay. Page 6. B. Material or seen things therefore come from the invisible or the faith realm. Okay. We've looked at Hebrews 11:3. It's a biggie. The worlds were framed by the word of God. They weren't there before. By faith, we understand that they were framed by the word of God. They were made from things which aren't visible. Okay, what that is saying is that everything that we can see that is visible, us, was made from things that isn't visible. The worlds. That's a huge point, and it's really hard for us to get. Let's just sit there for a second. I want you to think of something in your mind and just imagine where it's come from. There are things happening in your life that, and there are things that you've created in your life that came from something that was invisible. Even a sculpture, a painting, is created from something that's invisible. It's brought forth. The substance of the earth, the trees, it's spoken forth by the Lord when he created the world and he created creation. And we're still creating buildings, skyscrapers, companies. But they're brought forth from things that are invisible. Some are brought forth in unrighteousness, some are brought forth in righteousness. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And here's that wonderful verse in 2 Corinthians 4. We do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then we have this, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We do, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now this is a tricky one. This is a tricky verse because actually we do walk by sight. But it's not seeing in the natural. It's seeing in the faith realm. And it's important to make that point. That Paul, he's not, you know, there is a degree to which we, Hebrews 11:8, we do not know where we're going. Abraham set out not knowing where he was going. And there's this, there can be that, you know, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet. I can't see any more really than my feet. And there will be that a lot of the time. But there'll still be, at the same time, a vision in our hearts. That we are actually walking by vision, but it's by faith vision. It's by the invisible vision that we call forth into our lives. We're not just sort of blind, can't see anything, can't do anything. No, that's not how God intends us to walk. He intends us to walk by what we see the Father do, John 5:19, and we call it forth. And what God is doing in our lives all the time is he's showing us stuff because he loves us and shows us all things. John 5:20, he's showing us stuff. He's saying, he's showing you stuff in your imagination, in your dreams. Your imagination is just dreaming, but you're awake. Daydreaming, night dreaming. God speaks through dreams. We're going to come on to that. God is showing you things to do. The Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do in his life. So we aren't just walking blind. So we walk by faith, not by sight, but it's not sight in the natural. Amen? We do not walk by what we see in the natural, but we walk and talk by what we see in the invisible faith realm, calling those things which do not exist as though they did, which is how God operates. Amen. Hallelujah. Faith and obedience are intrinsically linked. You then release and materialize the promised word from the spirit to the natural by speaking it out in faith and obedience. Now this sounds really technical, I understand, and kind of like, well, I'm never going to get that right. And I often think that. But don't worry about that. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus says. Big verse. Heard that again, Madeline, the importance of obedience. And then we'll look at all this stuff quickly from John. We'll just kind of go over it quickly. We see again this whole realm of obedience. Jesus says in John 14, verse 9, the words I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority. It's not my authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. He justifies himself by saying, these aren't my words, but the Father's who sent me. For I've given them, he says in his final prayer, Jesus, the words which you have given me. He was constantly speaking and constantly doing what he saw the Father do. So that whole realm of faith is intrinsically tied to obedience. Amen? Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. I love that. On earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Calling forth what's in heaven to earth. Our prayer, our life walk, our life journey, like Enoch, should be calling forth heaven into earth. That's why the Lord's Prayer is the Lord's Prayer, because the prayer isn't just what you speak in the morning, the Lord's Prayer, or at the end of assembly or chapel. It's a life. It's a lifestyle. Prayer is a lifestyle. And we are called to activate and realize heaven on earth all the time through the faith realm, by what we see God do and drop into our spirits, the evidence of things hoped for all the time. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is, dropping into your spirit and quickening your spirit with life. It's the only way to describe it. We just have to grow in this realm. We go, that's the word of the Lord. That has life on it. And we'll get used to recognizing it. We'll get used to recognizing Jesus in that living word that comes into our lives. We'll recognize his voice. My sheep hear my voice. And then what do? Well, we're coming on to that. It's called believing. It's called believing. Look at this, Ezekiel 37. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones. This is a wonderful bit of scripture. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, prophesy and say. No difference. How are you prophesying? How did you prophesy today? I'm just asking what sort of words you spoke out today. How did you prophesy? 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3. When you prophesy, you speak. You just speak. Did you prophesy falsely or truthfully? Did I? I don't know. I'll have to do a review later. We're all prophesying because we're made in God's image. Life and death, blessing and curse. It's exciting. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, say, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring forth flesh upon you. Look at this creative process. Look at it happening. When you see people healed in creative miracles, it'll be as when a word is spoken. What did we hear at the beginning? Just say a word and my servant will be healed. Just speak a word. Say it. Prophesy to these bones and say to them. That's called the command that we're supposed to have over the natural realm. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. There's the obedience. And as I prophesied, as, paravaz, as, that's what? Believing. Is as not believing? As is the activation of that faith into the natural realm. That's the key. That's why I've written this essay on the fact that as is the most powerful, explosively powerful word in the Bible. Because you can't get the activation from heaven to earth without as, without the first part of believing. And so much of what God sends by his word into our lives is not activated because we don't believe it, or we don't do anything about it. We don't prophetically live it out. And actually, Todd Bentley had a teaching called The Field of Dreams, which I really recommend. And the father is walking through this desert. He had this vision. And he's picking up he's walking through this desert, and there are sort of old broken down tanks and different weaponry, and like they've got sort of sand, and sand is kind of, you know, like dunes has kind of gone over them, and it's like this dry, arid desert. And he's picking up these shields and these trophies, and he's sort of dusting them off and sort of weeping over these dreams and these promises that never came to anything. Amazing thought that the Lord had these plans for people. He had these destinies. He had these promises, this word that was sent into people's life, but nothing happened to them. Sometimes they were lost. Maybe the enemy took them. We're in a wrestling match. We're in a battle. We know this. But sometimes maybe the people just didn't do anything about them. Didn't live their God-ordained lives. So the Father is weeping over this field of dreams where the dreams weren't lived out. Because we're understanding where these dreams are coming from. God speaks through dreams. Dreams of the night, dreams of the day. His word that brings life. Brings hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So God is giving us hope and dreams and life. And this is his way of speaking to us so that we do what? We believe them and call them forth by our lifestyle, by our words. He prophesied as he was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling and the bones came together, bone to bone. Jeremiah 33:10, hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it. Don't just hear it, declare it. That's why these words that we get, that's why these lives, visions we get have to be declared. Your lifestyle is a declaration. Jesus said in John 17, I've made your word known. I've made you known. I've declared you God. I've declared who you are. Why? Because Jesus is the word of God. He's a declaration. We are a declaration of the kingdom of God. We are a declaration of God's word. And when we do not do what we're called to do, I think I was reminded of this the other day in Chariots of Fire. Is it Eric Liddell who says, we pour contempt upon God when we don't do what gives the Father pleasure? And we rob the earth of his word. We silence the world. God's word is silenced. There's a contempt when we don't live out what God's called us to be. It's an amazing thought. I think it's in Genesis when the blood of Abel cries out, doesn't it? And it's like there's a crying out and there's been this robbery of what Abel was supposed to be, and his blood, his very life, is crying out to God that it's not as it should have been. As the Father sent Jesus, so he sends us. Jesus was perfectly obedient. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish that work. Our food, Matthew 4:4, is not the bread, it's not the chips, it's not the flat screen TV, it's not the three-piece suit, it's not the Mercedes Benz, it's not the 15 acres of field. It's not going to satisfy you. It's not going to satisfy you. You'll just be bored of it. You'll want a bigger field or a bigger house, and that won't satisfy you, because your food is to do the will of him who sent you and to finish that work. Until you do, until you declare that purpose, that word from God in your life, you'll be unfulfilled, and the world will be robbed of what God ordained for you and for me. Declare his word in your life. I love this again. Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Where your heart is, there is your treasure. It's where your treasure is, there is your heart, but this kind of works both ways. What has God put into your heart? What is the word of God in your life? And then there's that wonderful word from Mary in John 2, verse 5. We're on page 8. Whatever he says to you, just do it. Isn't that good? That's just so simple. And then there's that quotation, you know, when God says jump, jump, and on the way up, ask how high. Wow. We lose so many words. Why? Because the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy, comes to choke the word. We saw that in the parable of the sower. That word, that seed, what does a seed do? It brings forth life. We had a prophetic word about that this evening. The seed brings forth life. Life comes out of the seed. The seed, we are born again. A spirit of God comes into us like sperm, like a sperma, like a seed. We're born again by that seed, and the word of God is constantly being sent to us like a seed scattered, and it can be stolen, it can be robbed by Satan, and that's why we need to just do his word. What he says to you, do it. Just do it. And then what happens is you see the, it says in the parable of the sower that different things in the world cause the seed not to grow, you know, the riches of man, the pride of man, rebellion, fear. But why often, so often we don't do the word because of fear, possibly fear that we won't have enough money, you know, we need to create money and need to have the right stuff so we look good with our peer group, or we need to be respectable. That's idolatry, that's vanity and pride. You know, if I do this, people think I'm a nutter or a worse. Or do you see? The word is choked by, Jesus says it, lots of different things. It's nicked by the thief who steals the word. So we just, that's why Mary says, what he says to you, do it quickly. Just do it. That's what Jesus did. Whatever the Father said to him, he did it quickly. It's absolute guaranteed success. When that word, which brings life, and you'll begin to recognize that word more and more. How does he speak to us? How does God speak to us? In many different ways. Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. You have the prophetic word. Your old men shall dream dreams. You have dreams of the night. Your young men shall see visions. What are visions? It's a good question. Some people think, you know, well, there are sorts of different visions, and we could look at them. We're not going to this time, but, you know, vision is something you see, is it not? It doesn't have to be this intensely kind of supernatural open vision or trance-like state. It's just something you see with your imagination. If your imagination is sanctified, if your members are presented as instruments of righteousness, is your sight, your imagination, if you've given yourself to the Lord, what you see is very important. I only do the things I see, Jesus said, my Father do. When you're in communion, that realm of vision is very important. When you're in communion with the Father of lies, that vision is very important. What people see in their hearts when they're living a life that is dedicated to the kingdom of darkness, whether they know it or not, will bring forth death from their heart. And that's how evil and sin is rife. What are you seeing in your heart? Have faith for that. God will speak to us in different ways, but the imagination's a very powerful place. God will cause you to will and to do, to will, to want, to desire. Your desires will become sanctified. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. And you'll know that in your lives, that as you walk with the Lord, your desires will become sanctified. And many of your desires right now will be very, very different from what they were when you were necessarily not walking with the Lord, or possibly less committed to the Lord. Why do you think that is? That's nothing that you've worked up. I used to hate evangelists, absolutely hate them. And I'm now an arch evangelist of the sort I used to hate. Do you think I mustered that up? Naturally, I don't think so. It's not very popular either, and I like to be popular. So, trust the things and the ways in which your desires have changed. Desire, by the way, means, day Siri means of the Father, day of Sire, Father. Question is, who is your Father? Where are your desires coming from? Your young men shall see visions. God is pouring out his spirit, you see. He is giving us visions, he's giving us dreams. He's giving prophetic words. Job 33, 14 14 to 16. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. Numbers 12, verse 6. Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. There are lots of other ways in which God speaks. God will have, and we'll talk about this in our groups in a little bit, God will have ways, and there'll be ways in which God speaks to you. And I want you to acknowledge them, and I want you to receive them. Because there's life in acknowledgement. There's life in speaking out different ways, and it's the testimony of Jesus. It's the spirit of prophecy. When we testify about what God is doing, which is what we're trying to do every week, it's released again. That's what it means. I think it's Revelation 19:10, isn't it? Testimony of Jesus, spirit of prophecy. When you talk about what Jesus is doing, it's repeated not only in your own life, but in other people's lives, because there's life in how we talk. And when you acknowledge what God is doing, you give it life. You give it credibility. Someone said to me the other day, I was talking with a friend, and she said, I've got this hope that I'm going to be living with this other friend. We've got this plan. We've hatched this plan. We're going to live together. And she said, but I don't want to speak it out because it may not happen. And I said, no, you should. You should speak it out, because there's life in what you speak and what you declare. And I think a lot of the time we don't want to. I think that's the thief again, yeah, who's coming and he's saying, don't talk about it, yeah, because it's not going to happen, because he doesn't want us to. It's a very powerful place of that. You know, what is the Lord? What do you feel uncomfortable about? Often that's the enemy saying, look, I really don't want you to do that. Don't do it. When there's fear on something, and discomfort, often that's the enemy. It's not always the enemy. Operate out of peace. You know, the Lord. When there's peace, do something. But when there's that kind of fear, sometimes it's the enemy not wanting you to release something that you need to release, or acknowledge something you need to acknowledge. Wow. So however God speaks to you, recognize it and say, yeah, God does speak to me like that. That's how he speaks. You know, so often we believe the enemy more than we believe God. Yeah. We should doubt our doubts. It's true. He's still slithering around saying, did God say? Did God really say that? That's what he does. Okay. We say, yes, he did. Enjoy it. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt you. Okay. Faith is a gift. Believing, or what we do with the word of faith, is our responsibility. You see, God's given us free will. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Are we going to answer? Are we going to? He's given us that choice. What are we going to do with it? What's our, you know, it's incredible. We have this free will, but he's given us his word. He's given us his spirit, and it's just there for us to do it. What he says to you, do it. Blessed is she, Luke 1:45, talking about Mary, who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which are told her from the Lord. Don't you love that? Do you love that connection with the things that the Lord spoke to her? How does the Lord speak in spirit and life? He sends his word, which is the substance of faith. And what did Mary do? Believed. She just believed it. And so that's why I believe the creed, you know, they got together and they said the Apostles' Creed. Sometimes it's really good to just, we've talked about the power of confession in the morning. Speak out what you believe. They used to come together, didn't they? And they would say the creed in an old-fashioned church, in the liturgy, you say the creed. It's important that. There's a lot of truth in that. There's a lot of things, that rituals, that are important. We don't make them rituals that have no effect, but we do them because there's power in them. They would go through what they believed, and there's tremendous power in that. Because Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, confession brings forth that which is in our heart and makes it real. So say what you believe. If you believe you're called to certain things, speak it out. Have it on a piece of paper on your fridge, and every now and then say, I believe I'm called to do this. I'm going to do this. Speak it out. Live it out. That's a form of belief. You don't always have to say, I believe this, I really believe this, I really believe this. Just live it out. That's a walk of faith. That's a walk of belief. And there will be a fulfillment of what God has spoken over your life as you walk it out, as you believe. The belief bit's our bit. When you receive 1 Thessalonians 2:13, when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, right? That's the prophetic word, is it not? Or it's, yeah, because they didn't really have the Bible then. Amazing what they got done without the Bible, isn't it? I heard that. I think it was Bill Johnson in a recent talk talked about that. Bethel Church podcast. When you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, that's the prophetic word, the word of God is still being sent forth. Rick Joyner, The Final Quest, I think a great example of a modern day prophetic revelation. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still speaking. He's still encountering people. He hasn't changed. And his word is still going forth. You welcomed it, not as the word of men. Interesting. You said, that's from you, Lord. Thank you. You welcomed it. I welcome your word into my life. I believe it. I accept it. I do it. But as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who what? Believe. How does it effectively work? How does that word of God come to pass? How does that heavenly word on your earth as it is in heaven, how does that heavenly ordination, he preordained all our days, did he not? Psalm 139. It's all written up there in a little book with your name on it. Okay. Here's your life. This is your life. Okay? God's written it because he stands outside of time. And he thought about Clemmy. He thought exactly how she would be. He wrote down the days. And it's up here. And then he's going like this. I just threw the book and she caught it. From heaven to earth. Receive it. Call it forth. But be not as though it were. By, and it effectively comes to pass through belief. James, book of James, big on this. I will show you my faith by my works. God has put faith in you. How are you going to show it?
Bang!
Oh. Amen. What are you going to do with it? You see, he just pulled the trigger. That's good. He pulled the trigger. That shotgun does nothing until you pull the trigger. Doesn't do anything. No power, no effective working of the bullet until the trigger is pulled. The bullet goes and then it's very destructive. You've got to pull the trigger. He'll show you his faith by pulling the trigger. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you not see that faith was working together with his works? It's working together with the way we behave. It's working together with the way we believe. And by works, faith was made perfect. By believing, by doing it, by carrying out what you see the Father do in your life, it's made perfect. You see that a man is not justified by works, but not by faith only. Okay, faith without works is dead. James 2:26. That faith is not brought to creativity without the working, without the speaking forth, without the living it out. It remains in the invisible realm. It's dead. The life comes when you live it out, when you do it. Matthew 21:22, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. Mark 5:36, do not be afraid, just believe, only believe. So there is a direct link between words and works. Okay, coming into land, but I feel like this has been good to go into this sort of detail. There's a direct link between words and works. We've looked at Hebrews 1:3 a lot. You uphold your world by your words. Upholding all things by the word of his power. That's how God behaves. We behave in a similar way. We're made in his likeness. Your tongue linked with the vision of your heart controls your world. We've looked at that. You get what you talk about. I love this bit of Jesus, John 14:10. Look at how words and works is linked in this one phrase. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. I just love that because I was looking for a verse which somehow linked the two. And you get this rather abstract thing that Jesus said. The words that I speak to you, I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Words and works linked. Meditate on it. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You don't get saved until you start to speak it out, until you start to activate what's in your heart. Okay. Let's move on. Because actually I've been through a lot of that. There's some great verses. I do encourage you to go over them. I'll just read this from Psalm 149. This is great. Verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. And look at this. And a two-edged sword in their hand. High praises, two-edged sword. Praise was at the front of the battle when Israel went into battle. They praised at the front line. Okay, the power of our words, the power of our heart linked with our tongue, having a creative power, a physical power to execute vengeance on the nations, etc. Isaiah 51, verse 16, and I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundation of the earth. As Isaiah spoke the word of God, he was what? Planting heavens and laying the foundations of the earth. That's a wonderful summary of what we've been talking about, isn't it? Of bringing heaven to earth by the power of God's word, and which is the faith of God being released through our lives. Hallelujah. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. That is what faith is. Hebrews 11 verse 1. The word of God arrives in our spirit, bringing forth life. It's the substance of faith. So G, but what we speak out must be mixed with faith, and what we receive by faith must be mixed with believing. Hebrews 4 verse 2, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. According to your faith, let it be to you. So, you know, we can confess truth, but if it's not really coming from a place of communion with the Father, it's not necessarily going to have power. Does that make sense? That's where religion is a stumbling block, a huge stumbling block. That's where the liturgy, if it's not mixed with faith, if it's not mixed with life, it's pointless. It's no good spending hours, really, I have to phrase this carefully. There's power in confessing truth, but there's not that much power, is the point. It needs to have life on it. It needs to be prophetic. It needs to be rhema. You can read the Bible for days, and if it's not in conjunction with the Holy Spirit and the life of God, it's not going to change you. It can bring death. It's religion. There are people who know the Bible very well. They're not walking with the Lord. The word hasn't profited you. It hasn't profited them. The word didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith, not being mixed with life in those who heard it. According to your faith, let it be to you. Go your way, and as you've believed, so let it be done for you. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you receive. So what we speak out must be mixed with faith in order for it to have power. And what we receive by faith must be mixed with believing. Amen? So we're still growing this. We're growing in these truths. And we're getting more and more revelation on it. And so I've got L plates on, and we've got L plates on. But we're neutral between two kingdoms. This is great. I love to. We'll just end with this. This is quick. Where do you live right now? Where do you spend most of your time living? Which kingdom are you living in? Which kingdom are you entertaining? What do you look like in the spirit? What are you wearing? What are you clothed in? What do you sound like? Who hangs around you, angels or demons? Hopefully you've got a lot of angels hanging around you and a lot of demons trying to get in there, but they can't. That's right. You know, where do you live? We're made in the image of God. We've been conformed to the image of Jesus. That's Romans 8:29. We shall do greater works than Jesus. Jesus is our brother. So just as Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power, so we sustain our world by the word of our power. A little bit of repetition here, but bear with me. So here's the point. You're going to sustain your world by spoken words which come out of whatever kingdom you're living in. Where are you living in? Your conversation is dependent on where you're living. I like this from the King James Version, Philippians 3:18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. They're living in the kingdom of darkness. For our conversation is where? In heaven. That's amazing. Where's your conversation? Now, where are you right now? Seated in heavenly places. So when you speak, your conversation is in heaven. John 3:13, this is a wonderful verse. No one has, this is Jesus, this should be in red. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Now, in a sense, when you first look at that, it's difficult to understand. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven. That is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. Where is Jesus when he is saying that to his disciples and the crowd? Where is he? Huh? He's on the earth in the physical, isn't he? But where is he in the spirit? He's in heaven. The Son of Man who is in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is within you. You are seated in heavenly places. Where's your conversation? You can, as a Christian, speak death. You can agree with a different kingdom. We've seen that. It's called sin. It's called presenting your members, Romans 6:13, for unrighteousness, your mouth, your mind, agreeing with lies, and having a conversation that comes out of the kingdom of darkness. Which kingdom are you living in? It's a matter of choice, you see. We have a choice, we have a free will to align ourselves with one of two kingdoms all the time. Romans 6:12, 13. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should... Who's Paul talking to here? Christians. Do not let sin reign in your body, that you should obey it in its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God. Who are you going to present? Who are we going to present ourselves to? The kingdom of darkness or heaven or the kingdom of heaven? As being alive from the dead, and our members, what we do, what we speak, what we touch, as instruments of righteousness to God. And then you have this classic example of Simon Peter speaking from heaven in one second and then from hell in the next. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So Peter spoke from heaven. His conversation was in heaven. By revelation, the word of God came to him, and he had this incredible revelation the first time that Jesus is the Messiah. That was the first time it was revealed. It was a revelation. He didn't get it from man. It was by revelation, which we need to be obsessed by, getting revelation. Paul said, "I pray always that the spirit of wisdom and revelation be upon you to know." This isn't about getting there in earthly means. We've got to get it from heaven. So then Peter took him aside, verse 22, and began to rebuke him. This is Jesus who just said, "By the way, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be betrayed." And Peter took him aside and rebuked the Son of God. "Far be it from you, Lord. This is not going to happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." You see, this is an example of 1 minute, the first leader of the church was speaking out of heaven. His conversation was heaven. The next minute, he was Satan's mouthpiece. I mean, that's just terrifying. We can be an offense to God if our conversation is coming from the wrong place. We can literally, Jesus could say to us, "Get behind me, Satan." If we are not mindful of where we are living. So that's why we need the fear of the Lord, because by the fear of the Lord we depart from evil. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need the fear of the Lord to know daily, it says in Proverbs, that we should ask for the fear of the Lord, so that we have a right understanding of our power, for good or for bad. Jesus says, we'll give an account for every idle word we speak. Every idle word. Matthew 12:36-37. Every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. I often, that verse comes back to me when I'm speaking to unbelievers or evangelizing. I'll hear them say to me, and it'll ring loud in my mind, they'll say, "I don't believe in Jesus." And they'll go on a rant of what they don't believe or what they do believe. And I can just hear the Lord saying, by his words he'll be justified, or by his words he'll be condemned. Because what he is speaking is simply the overflow of his heart. And of course, God gives us free will. He's simply bringing out of his heart, which is his inner, it's who he is. It's what he has made his decision to be. He's bringing it forth by words. Again, this is another illustration of the intense power of words. By your words you're justified, by your words you're condemned. And he'll probably see that vision, or she will, if she doesn't confess the Lord as, or he, as their personal saviour for eternity in hell. I don't know how it works, hell. I know it's torment on every level. But I imagine you can remember things. You can remember confessions you've made. By your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. Okay, let's end with this last bit. We've gone on really late, but it's good, I think. God is love. Without love we achieve and are nothing. Just reminding us of 1 Corinthians 13. You know, and now, listen to this. Though I have all the faith, you could have all the faith, but if you have not love, not only do you get nothing done, you aren't, well, actually, I take that back. You could do something with that faith, but you are nothing. God says you're nothing without love. Isn't that wonderful? And yeah, it's wonderful. That's the currency of love that we talk about. And like God, we create and destroy with our words. That's just a lot of verses at the end that I might not have included, especially from Proverbs, which I just recommend you read over. You know, Proverbs is full of wisdom, obviously. Solomon was the most wise man that ever lived, apart from Jesus. And he talked a lot about the power of words. So let's just quickly pray and split into small groups. Father, I thank you that we're learning about your word, Lord. We thank you for your written word, which we choose to meditate on. And Holy Spirit, I just pray you would help to unlock things in our hearts, Lord. It's you who gives revelation. It's your word that brings life and revelation and breakthrough. And I pray for a mighty download of your word into our hearts, Lord. I pray for that life just to come right now. By your Spirit, Lord, I pray send your angels of revelation. Send your angels, Lord, just unpack and unlock these truths, Lord. Give us the keys, Lord. Give us the keys. I pray release the keys, Lord. It's only you who can do it, Lord. Flesh and blood cannot do it, Lord. But only our Father who is in heaven. Thank you. This is such an exciting topic, Lord. And thank you already for what you stirred up in our heart and the breakthrough that's happened. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Now Believe podcast. We'd love to see you at the Growing in the Supernatural course. For more details, please email talk@nowbelieve.com.